Welcome to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Let's join our pastor and teacher, William J. McDuffie.
Glory be to God. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 7. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 7. My assignment is to put you in remembrance of these scriptures. Now, I want you to write these notes, write the scriptures down. You remember, we've been teaching and we have been talking about our core beliefs. What is a core belief? Something that you hold true, where? In your heart. It's something that you hold in your heart. It's a core value. It's something that is deep on the inside of you. Now, this foundational or deeply held belief you hold in your heart is what you make decisions based upon. We know that most of our thinking is in the area of what they call the subconscious, not the conscious. Most of what you do subconsciously. You don't even think about it. Something itch you just scratch. You don't consciously think. It's a subconscious reaction. It's something you just know to do. Most of what you do is in your subconscious or your core beliefs. If you don't change your core beliefs, listen to me, you will not change your behavior. Not permanently, at least. You might temporarily change some things because you can have a belief in your head. You can have information or a belief that's in your head, but until it affects your core belief, it doesn't really change what's in your life. Does that make any sense? So if we're going to change our core beliefs, how do we do that? How do we get something into our core, into our heart? How does it get there? You got to meditate on it. In other words, you got to spend time. It's not something, whatever you deeply hold on to, you didn't think about once and it became part of your core beliefs. You thought about that over and over again, and once it got into your core, it's established. Good or bad, it's established. Now, how do you change it if it's bad? You can't just delete it. You have to replace it with something. How do you do that? The same way you got it in you, it's the same way you got to get the new thing, the new information in you, and it's going to take time. Now, listen, if for 25 years you have believed that you are not important and that you're not loved, coming across the scripture that says John 3:16 that God so loved the world will not change your core by looking at it once or twice. You won't believe God loves you. That's why when many Christians come short of the glory of God, they run from the presence of God. They don't run to God, they run from God. Why do they run from God? Because at their core they believe that God is mad at them and that God is looking to do them some damage. So this word, this seed, that's what I want to refer to it as. If we don't get this seed into the ground of our hearts, into the good ground of our hearts, it doesn't change. The only thing that's going to be manifested in our lives is the seed that is already sown in our hearts. So if you got a lot of that junk in your life, that's what's going to continue to be produced in your life because that's what's in the ground. Now, I have not sown any seed in my front yard. None. But stuff still keeps growing. Why? Because it's in the ground, and it's going to come out of the ground. If it has enough germination, enough water, it's going to grow. Even though I didn't plant it, it was already there. And a lot of that seed is deeply, deep down into the ground, and it's been there. Who knows how long that seed's been there, but it's just now growing. Now, I know it's not just seed blowing in the air, because I got about 2 inches of gravel everywhere. So it didn't come just and fall into the dirt. It's already there. So the weeds that grow up is proof that the seed is already in the ground. What grows out of us is what's in us. So if we're going to change what grows out of us, we got to change what's in us. So that means we have to attack those core things. Now, how do you get to see those core things? How do they come about? How do you know they're there? How can you find out they're there? By behavior, by your actions, same thing. It's going to come out. And so how do you often know what's in you is when pressure is put on that specific area. And that's a way to know. Now, I used to get discouraged by that. Don't get discouraged. Because you didn't even know that was there. Now, do you remember, according to scripture, why did the Lord take the children of Israel through the wilderness? The scripture says, what the scripture say? They were out. No, he took them there. They were there 40 years because of disobedience. But he was the one that took them there. They just shouldn't have been there that long. So disobedience is why they were there that long. But why were they there? So that the Lord could prove to them what was in them. Egypt was in them. Now, if he just told them Egypt was in them, they wouldn't believe it. Mm-mm. Just like Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Nah, not me. Bet you I don't, Jesus. I bet you I don't. You don't think Peter believed that in his head? Peter didn't know that was in him till pressure got applied. And Peter not only denied Christ, he got the cussing folks out. He was just laying hands on the sick the week before, raising the dead, hanging with Jesus. But it was in him. He didn't know it was in him. Now, in psychology, they call that a blind spot. That's the area where you don't know. It's there. You can't see it. It's kind of like when you walk into your house, you probably don't see the floor tiles anymore. When you first put them down or you first moved in, you did. But now when you go in, you see them, but you don't see them. Because it's been there so long, it's just the floor. You don't think about the individual tile or the color necessarily. The tile is there. It's the floor, right? And that's what happens with our core. It's just there. We don't recognize it. And so sometimes under pressure, because some of y'all don't believe that there's still some profane words in you, but under pressure. And when it comes out, listen, we're not proud of it. We don't want to take credit for it, but we have to recognize it was there. And then what do we got to do if it's there? You got to replace it. How do you replace it? You got to get a word on that and get it in you and replace that thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have to do that or else nothing will change. So when I deal with people or even in my own life, when I have a habit and I just see the same thing over and over, you know, that I used to live there. That used to be my address. And I would be on the altar and I would ask God to forgive me. And then 3 months, I'd be right back on the altar asking God to forgive me about the same thing. And then 3 months later, and it's over and over and over until I realize this thing has to be changed. It has to be attacked. Now, it may be subconscious, but I have to consciously attack it and change it and speak this thing and get it so deep in me that it becomes part of my subconscious. So when pressure comes on now, instead of a curse word coming out, a blessing comes out. And I'm just as shocked at the blessing that comes out as before I was with the curse, because I didn't have time to think about it. It just came out. Glory to God. The blessing came out. You know how it come out? Because it's in me. If it's in you, that's what will come out. So we want to get you to these scriptures because we want these to get in you, deep in you. And I'm not going to go through all of them tonight, but I want you to study these in regards to prayer. You got to get it deep. If you just get it in your head, it won't change. More specifically, it won't permanently change your situation. You'll have temporary relief. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get temporary results or temporary relief. And then before you know it, you're right back in the same thing. That's proof that your core has not changed. Come on. At the core, in this room right now, the core of most of us is poverty. The core of most of us is insecurity. I'm not saying, you know, that it's a spiritual force. It's a thought. And so this is how you can pretty much tell. When you ask to do something you've never done before, how you react to it has a lot to do with what's in you. See, if you really believe you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you, I'll do that. Amen. I never did it before. I'll do that. But if you're running for cover, why is that? Pressure, core belief. So proof of what you believe is always going to be evident in your actions or your behavior. Always. If you believe you can walk on water, you will not stay in the boat. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, Matthew 7. You have it? Matthew 7, verse 7. What does it say? It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. You see that? Now, how many people know that this is Bible scripture? It's a principle. How many people truly believe it? So then, there won't be any more crying and frustration and worry. Won't be any worries, concerns. I'm telling you right now, it is so easy for us to get into this mode of believing we believe stuff because we know it. That's why I'm taking the time. Because we think, because I've heard it, I know it, I believe it. But if you've only come across this scripture once or twice, how often do you confess this? How often do you confess it? Somebody said daily. How many people every day confess this scripture? Some people do. They probably believe it. That's not a criticism. I'm just trying to help you. Because I used to deceive myself the same way. I believe it. I know I believe it. I'll never deny you, Jesus. I'm serious. It's the same thing. But unless I take the steps to get it into my core, it's not something I truly believe. It's something I simply know. Are y'all with me? Well, because I've heard pastors say this a few times, and I know it's in the scripture, does not make it or get it into your spirit, into your core. So if you haven't been confessing this on a regular basis, at least daily, odds are you don't really believe it. You just know it. You understand what I'm saying? There's no shame in that. Don't be all nervous. And you're still born again. If you die tonight, you go to heaven. That's not the issue. The issue is getting to the place where you truly believe it. If you thought about giving up or quitting on anything in the last 30 days, you probably don't believe this scripture. So what I'm saying is, it's really, I asked the Lord about this. It's a phenomenon we have. It's called mental ascent. And what we have a tendency to do as human beings is that if we know something, we've heard something, we've heard it several times, we think that because we know it, we believe it. It's not the same thing. You know, a lot of people don't believe in God. They know there's a God. They don't believe in God. That's why anything a man tells them, any physical manifestation that comes, they believe it over God. Turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 9. Are you there? Let's read that together, verses 9 and 10. Ready? Read. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it you see that again, the same scripture. You writing these down? Because the only way you're truly going to believe this is you have to speak it, study it, know it, speak it, meditate in it, know it. And then the day will come when you'll know in your knower that you believe it. Because when something comes up, a level of confidence will rise up in your prayer time. Where before you were praying, but you didn't really feel, but something will happen one day. And you'll know that you know it's done. Because everyone who asks receives. Then you'll start saying things boldly, like, all my prayers are answered. All of them. God never says no to my, all my prayers are answered. There's nothing I believe God for that doesn't happen. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it's easy to start there intellectually by way of mental ascent. But the only way you can really get that is to study it and to speak it over and over. And I'm telling you, you need to do it daily, every day. I'm telling you, every day, multiple times throughout the day. God hears your prayers. His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. You are the righteousness of God. You got to know God hears you. Now, that takes us to another level. It's called practicing the presence of God. If you really believe God hears you, then you know that God is not hearing you from a distance. Because he said, lo, I am with you. He ain't listening. He ain't watching from a distance. He might be seated in the heavenlies, but he ain't watching from a distance. He's with you. This is the mystery that has been revealed to us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Stay with me. See, if Christ, if you have the revelation that Christ is in you, you won't take Christ some places. No, I'm not trying. Again, I'm not trying to be funny. If you have the revelation that he's in you and with you, there's some thoughts you won't meditate on. There's some things you won't do. It's a whole different level, isn't it? Practicing the presence of God. He's there with me, man. He's here. As I watch this thing, Jesus, he's right here with me. He knows exactly what I'm doing. He's here. Make sense? All right. Turn to Matthew 21. Verse 22, let's read it together. Ready, read. And all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. In all things, and all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So now you have the scripture. You just turn that into a confession. All things I ask in prayer, believing, I receive. All things I ask in prayer, believing, I receive. How many things?
All things.
How many things?
All things.
All things? That you ask in prayer?
Amen.
Believing you receive?
Amen.
All things.
All things.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's the key. See, people are quick to say amen. I'm just telling you. I wouldn't be answering that right now. I just would just look. That's the time to be quiet. I'd be like, because I don't know. Because I don't know whether you believe it or not. I'm telling you, knowing it's in the Bible, please hear me, knowing it's in the scripture produces nothing. That's like saying, I know that in my barn, or in my, let's say garage, in my shed, I have a bag of grass seed. A bag of grass seed in my garage does nothing to my lawn. Knowing I have the grass seed, nothing in the lawn. Having a receipt, having a certificate, you know, a certificate of certification from the grass seed company doesn't cause one blade of grass to grow. What causes the grass to grow? To take the seed and plant it in the ground, in particular good ground. Until that happens, there is no chance that grass will grow. Having the Bible and knowing you have the Bible will not change anything in your life. Never has, it never will. Until it is planted in your heart. Now, this is the thing that takes the longest, is getting it planted. That takes time. Don't get discouraged. Don't think you can come to, you know, 52 Wednesday nights, highlight stuff in your Bible and in your notes. That won't be enough. Turn to Joshua 1 and 8. This is the foundation on which we need to live. This is the foundation on which we need to do everything. Joshua 1 and 8. The Lord told Joshua, he says, this book of the law, it should what? It should stay in your mouth. It should, in other words, continually be in my mouth. Continually. See, until you get to the continually speaking it over and over and over again, you don't stand a chance of getting it into your heart. Do you see that? And then the next sentence. How often? How often? I just got another revelation. I was reading a book, Dr. Ivy Hilliard's book, and he said that the same Hebrew word that's translated meditate also is translated imagine. So it's more than just speaking it. It's seeing it working in your life. It's seeing it working in your, it's seeing your marriage squared away. It's seeing your marriage happy. See, the devil knows if he can get you to see your marriage as unhappy, he can affect your marriage for the worse, because you'll always do and always produce what you see. Do you remember when Laban had deceived the trickster himself? Laban tricked the trickster. And for 14 years, he worked for Laban. 7 years to get the woman of his dream. But he didn't get her. He got her sister. And so he worked another 7 years to get the woman of his dreams. And Laban understood, because the blessing was on Jacob's life. The blessing wasn't on Laban's life. As a matter of fact, you can see Laban didn't do so good after Jacob left. He recognized that, so he didn't want Jacob to leave. But Jacob said, I tell you what, let's make a deal. Every speckled and spotted calf that is born, every goat, every sheep, every cow that's speckled or spotted, in particular sheep, those will be mine. All the white ones, those will be yours. Now, I don't know a whole lot about sheep, but you don't see a lot of speckled sheep. So Laban said, deal. He jumped on that. What did Jacob do? He took a branch of a tree and he cut stripes into it to represent specks, spots. And what did he do with it? He put it where the sheep could see it. Why? Because in order to produce, you got to see it. The world knows that. The way to produce a customer is to show them your product. So Jacob showed them, this is what I want you to look like. And they just, it was always in front of them. Whenever they made it, whenever they ate, whenever they drank, they always could see what he needed them to produce. And you are the exact same. You will always produce what you see. In other words, what you meditate on. See, if you really, in your heart, you see yourself as worthless, that's what will be produced. If you see yourself as valuable, if you see yourself as loved by God, you really see it, you see the blessing operating in your life, if you see it, can believe it. Very often the Lord gives me dreams to help me keep seeing things. I dreamt this spot here long before we came here. I shared it with my wife and with Minister Jeter. I said, I had a dream last night. This was, a matter of fact, the dream was so real that when I woke up, I was discouraged. Because when I woke up, we had 113 Hines Road. We were going to have service later that day. All five of us in the living room. But the dream was so clear. And the Lord had to get me to see it before we got here. So he says you got to meditate. So it's not only don't let this word depart from your mouth. You got to see yourself praying for people and it happening. You got to see yourself receiving everything you pray for. You got to practice this in your mind. You got to imagine it. See, the reason why I think I'm kind of hitting a 1,000-yard stare is because a lot of us have shut down positive imagination. Somebody told us that was a waste of time. Stop daydreaming and get on with life. You need to grow up. Now, we never stop imagining negative stuff. It's just the positive stuff we have difficulty. Now, check this out. Your 6-year-old has more power of imagination for good things than you have in most cases. Because no one yet has killed their ability to dream. They haven't had a whole series of disappointments that now they can say, you know what, all these dreams were nothing but that. So I'm not going to dream anymore. You got to see yourself. You got to see it. You have to see it. If you can't see it, you can't do it. So how often should you be seeing it then? Day and night. Day and night. So that means you got to do some daydreaming and some night dreaming. I feel resistance. What that means is I bounced into somebody's core belief, and they're not. The first instinct that every human being has is that when new information comes and it doesn't line up with your core belief, you will reject it. That's why if you don't consciously accept this, it won't change. It'll bounce off. It literally will bounce off you. Let me show you some of the behaviors. I can tell when I hit something that does not line up with someone's core belief. They turn and they just look around. It's almost as like, I can't look at you. I'm not listening to you. So I'm going to turn my head because what you just said does not line up with what I believe, and I'm not accepting it. And that's why you have to, when it's the word of God, I'm telling you, this is not just a mantra, it's not just a saying. The Lord gave this to me, and I live by this. I'm only right when my words, my behavior, my conduct, and my thoughts line up with the word. I say that regularly. So that means if I find something in scripture and it hits my core and my core wants to reject it, now as a core belief I have, I'm only right when my words, my behavior, my conduct, my thoughts line up with the word. My marriage is only right when my words, my behavior, my conduct, and my thoughts line up with the word. My prosperity is only right when my words, my behavior, my conduct, my thoughts line up with the word. My day-to-day actions, I'm only right when my words, my behavior, my conduct, and my thoughts line up with the word. The word of God is the absolute authority in my life. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I believed before I got this revelation. The word of God is the absolute authority in my life. So the first time I got Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, I was honest. I didn't believe it. I did not believe that all my prayers were answered. I did not believe that I could ask and I would receive. So I had to get to the place where I did believe it. I had to get to the place where I lined my thinking up with God's thinking. Now, please understand me. I did not do this in a year. I didn't do it in 2 years. I didn't do it in 4 years. I didn't do it in 5 years. It's taken years, and I still confess it. I still believe it. I constantly remind myself that all of my prayers are answered, because everyone who asks receives. To him who seeks, he finds, and the one who knocks, it's open to him. That's not a once in a while thing. It has to be consistent in your mouth, in your imagination, in your meditation. Now, listen to me. Now, I'll make this my last note. If you really want, listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. If you really want to know what you believe, pay attention to your words and your actions. Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to your words. Make a decision that you're going to pay attention to your words. And if it's anything like me, you will be surprised at the things that will come out of your mouth. Now, you know better, but they still come out. I'm not talking about curses. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the doubt and unbelief that will come out of you or your behavior. Don't say you believe in church attendance and then don't come to every service. So if you miss a service, guess what? That's an area I need to work on. I don't believe in church attendance because I let my feelings determine whether I'd be. I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't go. I wasn't feeling emotionally good, so I didn't go. See, when I come across stuff like that, I judge myself. The scripture says, if you judge you, you won't be judged. Now, what does that mean? If you squared away, nobody else will have to do it. So when I come across stuff like that, please understand me. I'm not suggesting for a moment that I believe everything in these pages. I know I need to. But the truth of the matter is, there are situations that have come, and the truth is, I didn't believe it. So what did I do? I just sat down on the side of my bed and cried and quit. No, I didn't. I fixed it. So that was my meditation. That's what I focused in on. So how do you know what you believe? Pay attention to what you say. Listen to me. Get one word out of your vocabulary when used after the principle, the truth of the word of God. It's a three-letter word, but listen to me. I didn't realize until somebody taught me this. I didn't realize how many buts were in my life, how many buts were in my mouth. I know God's word says that I can do all things through Christ, but it's not working for me. And so we say that we believe, but then when the word comes, we say, I know that, but. And in a sentence, what portion of the sentence is the most weight placed on for what is truly adhered to or believed? Before the but or after the but? So listen to your words. You'll know what you believe. Your actions will prove.
Well, my beloved partner, that's it for this teaching session. Did you get something out of this message? I pray that you did. I count it a distinct privilege and an honor to call you friend. And I look forward to hearing from you. So write me. Yvette and I love you dearly, and we pray for you constantly. Until next time, this is Pastor William McDuffie reminding you that Jesus is Lord, so you ought to walk in the blessing.
You've been listening to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Thank you for your generous financial contribution. It is because of you, our covenant partner, that we are reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. We would like to extend to you another opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is indeed good ground. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible contribution, please write us at William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. That's William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. And as always, walk in the blessing. Keep on walking.